There have been some pretty major understatements in history. An understatement is like saying, "Whew, Alaska can get a little chilly. You might want to take a jacket." Or, "Boy, that LeBron, he's not bad at basketball." Or, "It's going to take you a few minutes to drive from New York to L.A." Now, those are understatements. But to me, there's one that tops them all. Every year at this time of the year, I smile when I read what I consider to be the greatest understatement in the Bible. You might have already read it this Christmas season. It's found in Luke chapter 1, verse 32. The angel Gabriel was telling Mary a little bit about her baby boy, who would be born in Bethlehem. And Gabriel said, "Oh, let me tell you, Mary, let me tell you about your baby boy, Jesus. He's going to be great." Now, that'd be all right if Jesus was going to be the greatest carpenter in all Judea. "Oh, Mary, let me tell you about your boy. You won't believe the trim work he's going to come up with. He'll make the finest chair rail this side of the Sea of Galilee." It'd be all right if Jesus was going to be a great teacher in Judea. "Oh, Mary, let me tell you about your boy. He's going to be some teacher. He'll have the doctors and lawyers speechless. He'll even teach the teachers. He'll teach God's word in a way children will understand it and adults will be awed by it. He is going to be a great teacher." But he wasn't just a great carpenter or a great teacher. And Jesus wasn't just great. He is the great I am. And that's why I consider this to be the greatest understatement in the Bible. Good day to you, Simplify listeners. You're listening to L.J. Harry, and you're listening to the greatest understatement in the Bible on Simplify. His dream team went sailing with him one night. They weren't exactly sailing the seven seas. It was just a calm cruise across the lake. The sun was setting, the moon was beaming. It was a nice night for a cruise, and the disciples knew about cruises. A handful of them were fishermen. So Peter, James, John, and the rest of the boys were sailing without a care in the world or a cloud in the sky. And then without warning, they were in the middle of a fishing boat in the middle of the sea, in the middle of Hurricane Hezekiah. They went from a relaxing moonlit cruise to rowing for their lives in a matter of seconds. And Peter was frantic. He was bailing water with one hand and motioning for the others to get Jesus with the other. Finally threw down his bailing bucket and staggered to the stern to wake Jesus up. I don't know what he expected Jesus to do, but I don't think he expected this. Jesus woke up, stood up, spoke up, and said, "Peace, be still." And immediately, the very winds and waves he created, he calmed. These dozen disciples were just picking up their jaws off the beach when two men came running to Jesus like maniacs. They had seen the city limit sign for Gadara, and everybody knew about Gadara. It was a beautiful city, but it was terrorized by two terrorists. Gadara was one of those when you drove through it, you roll up the windows, lock the doors, duck down in the car. Everybody was scared of these guys, but nobody could do anything about them. They lived in the cemetery because nobody felt safe around them. These two men were too strong for Gadara's strongest men. They tried to tie them up with chains, and they just snapped the chains like popsicle sticks. They lived night and day in the tombs and in the mountains, crying and cutting themselves with stones. You try to lay your head on your pillow at night, and you can hear them in the cemetery like two wolves wailing at the top of their lungs. Peace and quiet moved out when these two moved in. But when they saw Jesus' boat hit the beach, these two terrorizers ran to Jesus. And when they reached him, they worshipped him. Thousands of hell's special forces could not keep two desperate men away from Jesus. Everybody waited to see what Jesus would do. Would he be scared of them? Would he shoo them away like most did? Would he turn around and run? Even after a dozen miracles, his dozen disciples were still fuzzy on who Jesus was. They knew what Gabriel said. He's going to be great. But the devils knew exactly who he was. And they identified him as the Son of the Most High God. They knew more than the disciples knew. They knew he wasn't just great. They knew he was the great I am who came in flesh. And they asked him, "What have we to do with you? Have you come to torment us before our time?" The devil knew it wasn't a fair fight. Thousands of devils versus one almighty God, they didn't stand a chance. Jesus simply asked them, "What's your name?" And they bowed up and responded, "Legion, for we are many." Maybe they thought the sheer number would scare Jesus away or intimidate him. "We're legion. There are a lot of us in here. Just try to get us out of here." But they still knew they didn't stand a chance, so they negotiated. The devil negotiated with Jesus, begged Jesus not to send them back where they came from. Even the devils don't want to go to hell. They asked Jesus to send them into a herd of pigs. And just as Jesus calmed the sea with a word, he cast out 5,000 demons who terrorized an entire city to paranoia with one word. Jesus simply said, go. And they went running into a herd of pigs and ran the herd of pigs off the cliff and into the sea. Before that day is done and the sun sets on that particular day, Jesus healed a woman who had been sick for 12 years and raised a little girl who was dead at just 12 years. He's greater than nature. He's greater than the devil. He's greater than disease. He's even greater than death. He's greater than your past. He's greater than your sin. If you broke all 10 commandments before 8 o'clock this morning, Jesus is still greater than your past. If you want to be set free, hell doesn't have enough part-time or full-time prison guards to keep you from breaking out of your cell and falling at Jesus' feet to worship him. You name the sin. You fill in the blank. If you've done it, he's greater. He can forgive it. I know it because his word says it. I know it because I've seen it. I know it because I know him. I have seen him forgive the addict, the alcoholic, the adulterer, the idolater, the gambler, the murderer, the liar. I have seen him forgive them and set them free. He's greater. He's greater than anything the devil can possibly fire at you. Jesus is greater than anxiety. He's greater than depression. He's greater than addiction. He's greater than demonic oppression. He's greater than demonic possession. Our Jesus is greater. I wish I could talk to Gabriel and say, Gabriel, I know you were doing your best, but just saying he's great doesn't quite paint the picture. Our Jesus is greater. It's not a fair fight. On Calvary, all of hell rose up against Jesus, and Jesus still won with both hands nailed to a cross. When you're a spirit-filled, born-again child of God, you never need to fear the devil, disease, death, because our Jesus is greater. The writer John said, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Jesus isn't just great, he's greater. And he's not just greater, he's the greatest. In fact, I would say he's greater than that. He, Jesus, is the great I am. Before we pray, I think we should praise. Let's take a little bit of time right now and just praise and worship Jesus for who he is. I love you, Lord. I worship you, Jesus. You are the great I am. There is nobody above you or beside you or like you or equal to you. There's nobody who can do what you do. No one who knows what you know. No one with the wisdom and the holiness you possess. Jesus, I worship you with my life, with my words. I worship you for who you are. You are great, and you are the great I am. I pray for anyone listening to this, whatever they need. God, please minister to them at the point of their need. Whatever they need you to do, if they need you to heal, if they need you to save, if they need you to forgive, if they need you to redeem, if they need you to mend a broken relationship, God, you can do all of it. There's nothing you can't do. I pray you would build our faith today. Help us to see you as you really are. Help us to see you as the great I am who really does love us and care about us and are able to do anything we need you to do. In Jesus' name, we praise you and worship you. Amen. Well, I hope this episode has built your faith and helped lift your eyes above what you see and what you can hear right now to realize Jesus is greater than it all. If this episode has blessed you, please share it with somebody and let them know about it, especially at this Christmas time of the year. Let them know about the podcast and the devotional that launched this podcast. It's a 52-week devotional. Shameless plug, but it would make a wonderful Christmas gift to give to somebody because it follows the calendar year from devotion to devotion. And you can pick that up or send it to somebody from PentecostalPublishing.com or Amazon. And it's available in print, also available on Kindle. I want to welcome a couple new nations to the Simplify Listening audience. We have the nation of Kenya. Welcome, Kenya. And Argentina. Bienvenidos a Argentina. Glad to have you as a part of our Simplify Listening audience, and very glad to have you, each of you, listening and making Simplify part of your devotion and your walk with God. Next week, I want to share with you a devotion about a gift God has given each of us, and I call it Jesus Loves Me. This is how I know. I look forward to sharing that with you next time, and always look forward to walking closer with Jesus as we walk through Simplify.